We learned for a few weeks until Zion on the base, and we basically covered the topic of Birchas HaMitzvah. After the Gemara Birchas HaMitzvah, Oivel HaSiyosam, the Gemara has a series of Gzeres Shavos. Obviously, the whole thing seems to be an asmachta that the Bedik HaScham should be Le'or HaNer. The Gemara says on the next daf, an air as opposed to an avuka. An avuka is if you have two candles near each other. For Havdalah, we say barim yari ho'esh. For Havdalah, the Gemara says it's a mitzvah min amufcha to have an avuka. It doesn't necessarily have to be like we have an Havdalah candle where the wicks are so close to each other that it makes one big flame. If you have two candles that are near each other, it's also good. If you have one candle on one end of the corner of the room, the other candle all the way, the other corner of the other end of the room, they're not near each other, that's not called an avuka. But if the two candles are near each other, Rabbi Kedegim in Hilchos Shechita quotes the Maharil, who says that that's considered an avuka. Why is Rabbi Kedegim in Hilchos Shechita? Because there's a Gemara in Chulin about Hashechet Balayla, but the Evidem Lachatchil Eloi, Lachatchil you shouldn't Shech Balayla. Because you have to see if you shech the roiv kana and the roiv eshet. You have to make sure that you shech the roiv. So if you shech balayla, you won't be able to see. So the Gemara says, but if you have an avuka, then it's even muta balayla, then it's even muta lachatchila to shech balayla. The slaughterhouses sometimes shech tamatzoi shabbos, sometimes they shech balayla, they turn on the lights. So if you have, so Rabbi Kivege writes over there, just like the Maharil says with respect to Havdalah, Matzoi Shabbos, that if you have two candles that are near each other, that's considered an avuka. So the same is true, we got in Shechita, that Lechatchila, you should only shech balayla. If you have an avuka, if you have two candles near each other, it's sufficient. When you have Yak Nahas, when you have Yontab Shecholi as the Matzoi Shabbos, this Yontab we had the reverse, no? We had Yaknahaz, I forgot already. It was just last week and I forgot already. So when you have Havdalah and you have, so let's say a woman benches licht neiris for Yom Tov, so she has different candles. So many have the practice that you take two candles and you blend them in together to make one big flame in order to say Bar Miari Hoesh. So some of the Gdolim in Europe, some communities, probably in Lithuania, they had a kpeda not to do that, since if the two candles are near each other, it's also good. It's considered an abuk, and there's not really any need to put the two candles so close that the flame should blend in to make one big flame. So they were choshesh that maybe you, by putting the two candles so close that you make them into one flame, maybe that's considered a malacha, and the malacha is, you're doing a malacha unnecessarily, because you could have said the bracha b'ari me'ari ho'esh, without blending in the flames together. What malach are you doing? That both candles are burning. What's wrong? So some say it's a malach of havara. It's an unnecessary havara. Havara is one of the 39 malachas. Tosfos had one shot on the Gemara earlier. Shema mina the Rabbi Akiva tlas. Shema mina the Rabbi Akiva thinks havara lechalak yotzes. If Rabbi Akiva would have thought havara lelav yotzes, if it's only a lav without koris, and without Misa, without Skila on Shabbos, then it means the list of Malachas only consists of 38 Surim. And Havor is a separate Isur, it's not a Malacha. So then there was one Pshat and Tosis, then it would be Mutar and Yontav. Then the din would have been Ner Shal Aftola. If you light a candle unnecessarily on Yontav, that would have been Heter Gomer. So there's a Tosis in Beitzah, Daf Chav Gimel, I think, but Tosis quotes such a line from the Yerushalmi, that Ner Shel Avtoleh is Oser on Yantav, because we hold that Havara is L'chalak Yotzes. But if one of you really held Havara L'lav Yotzes, means that it's not one of the, there are only 38 Malachas and not 39. So Havara is Mutta L'gamri on Yantav, Yim Shalom Tzor Klam. But we don't hold like that. We don't hold L'lav Yotzes. There was one Tana, he was outvoted. Yeah. So so some say that it's a violation of Havara. Others say, what kind of Havara? The both candles are burning anyway, so why is it a melacha of Havara if you blend them together? So that's why others said differently. They said, no, in the Svarim they write that those who are machmer felt that it's kibui. Why is kibui? Because if you have wax candles and you're going to blend, you're going to tilt the two candles together until they make one big flame, So probably some of the a drip or two of wax will drip down on whatever is below, will fall down on the candlestick. So if you're mistapik men Hashem shebiner, so the Gemara says in Beitza, if you take out some of the Shem shebiner, yishai mishum mechabe. That's a melacha of mechabe. That's a question. Why is that mechabe? Let's say if you have a candle and you cut off the bottom inch, you have a very tall candle. That'll last for 24 hours. Then you cut off the bottom of the candle and it'll only last for 22 hours. Cut off 2 hours worth. So Tyson said, that's not mechabe. You took away potential fuel. Let's say the house is on fire. You don't want everything to burn down. So you take all the furniture and you put it in a different room and you close the door. So the potential fuel that would have theoretically burned all the furniture, all the wood, all the swarm, take all the swarm out, you put them into a different room. That's not called mechabe. So here, the bottom 2 inches on this tall candle are potential fuel. And if you cut off the bottom 2 inches, that's not called mechabe. So why should it be mechabe if you mistopic, if you have a cup with oil and a wick and you put in a spoon and you take out some of the oil? I'm mistopic, man Hashem Shebiner. Or you tilt the candles in such a way that some of the wax, a drop or two of the wax falls down. So that's potential fuel that Bederech HaTeva would have burnt. If you would not have dripped it down, it would have burnt with the candle. So why is that mechabe? It's just preventing it from catching fire. So Tosfos gives an explanation. Tosfos and Beitza says, no, if you cut off the bottom 2 inches of a wax candle, you're not affecting the flame at all now. It just, that was potential fuel that would have gotten consumed if you would let the candle burn down to the bottom. So it burns out to 2 hours earlier. That's not mechabe. Just you ran out of fuel. But over here, if you're mistaptic, you cause some of the drop of the wax to fall down, or you put a spoon in and you have liquid oil, take out some of the oil right now. So right now, the flame is diminished. So that's what Tosfos says. Right now, the flame is diminished. So that's the question. There's a chumrah that some assume if you put the two candles together, you're doing some kind of a malacha or another, either malacha of havar or malacha of kibui. They say, since it's not necessary, because Rabbi Kibbeke quoted that Maharil, the two candles are near each other, that's already an avuk, and avuk is already a mitzvah and a mufchar. From the Loshon HaGemara, you see, if you say barim yor ha'esh ha'matzoi Shabbos on one candle, you're also yotze. It's a mitzvah and a mufchar to say barim yor ha'esh on a havdala candle, and you should have an avuka. But the mikar din is good even if you only have one. So you see that an avuka is also considered an heir, and it's even considered a mitzvah and a mufchar that you should, for havdala, you should have dafka and avuka. So why over here you insist that it should be dafka and heir? For bedikas chametz, what's wrong if you use an avuka? So the Gemara gives a few suggestions. So bottom line, the Gemara says, you have to be able to be machnes luchar in the nizdokin, and you shouldn't be mivis, you shouldn't be nervous. Okay. So the Gemara says that we use dafke candle. What if you have an electric a flashlight? So if you have a flashlight that has the old kind of flashlight that has a filament that glows because it's heated, so that Rav Chaim is a paskin that if you have an incandescent bulb and you turn it on, that's a malocha deraisa on Shabbos. So that's havar. And the Maharsham, that was in disagreement with the Maharsham. Maharsham was a major Galutiana poisek, and he had a different style of analyzing halachas. So the Maharsham came up with a chiddush that based on the Gemara, the first daf in Bava Kamma, whatever activity was important in the Mishkan is considered an av malacha. All the malachas are established based on what was necessary for Asiyas HaMishkan, the Binyan HaMishkan. So whatever activities when the Asiyas HaMishkan are considered obvious, whatever were not in the Mishkan, but were represented by what was done in the Mishkan, but and sufficiently similar to the av malacha, is considered a tolda, and it's also an Issa deraisa. So that's only the Maharsham had a chiddush. That's only by Medvar Mamorim. If such an activity existed in the days of the Mishkan, but it wasn't used for Asiyas HaMishkan. But electric bulb, since it didn't exist in the days of the Mishkan, how does he know? Okay, he assumes. He assumes they didn't. Nobody had any electric bulbs. That's the Maharsham, based on history. He's assuming that there were no electric bulbs in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, it can't even be considered a tolda. It's only a tolda mid the rabbanim. That's a chiddush. That's yadua. Rab Chaim Moshe held. That's Rab Chaim Moshe held that it's havara deraisa. If you use electrical appliance, if you plug in a refrigerator, you plug in a fan, or you turn on an air conditioner, that's a different question. You're setting a system in motion. You're not making any lights go on. That's not havara. He's setting a system in motion, so that's, we assume that that's probably makaba patish. So that's a question, many assume that that's maximum, that's only makaba patish the rabbanim. Chazanish was of the opinion that whenever you complete a circuit and something starts going, that's a malocha deraisa, either bona or makaba patish. He wasn't sure which of the two. It's hard to tell what's bona and what's makaba patish. There is a Tam Chochem in Eretz Yisrael who was an orphan at a young age, and he was raised by Rab Chaim, by Rab Shlomo Zalman Oyabach, I think. I forgot his name. I think his name is Cohen. And he put out two svarim on Bona and Makaba Patish. How do you distinguish between the two? And because he was raised as a Yosim, is raised by Rab Shlomo Zalman, he quotes a lot from Rab Shlomo Zalman Oyabach. So the Chazon Ish felt that completing a circuit to start the air conditioner or to push an elevator, he felt that put a system in motion using electricity is either malacha deraisa bona makaba patish. But the pashtus is most of the poskim hold that it's only makaba patish midirabona. But to light an incandescent bulb, that Rab Chaim Moshe quotes the Rambam was quoting at the Sefta, if you heat metal till it glows, that's a malacha of havara. It's not only havara if you burn paper and the paper gets consumed. If you heat metal till it glows, the metal doesn't get consumed. That'll be havara deraisa. If you turn off the light, that won't be mechabe. Mechabe is not the same thing as havara, but in the reverse. Mechabe is a malocha because you're creating pechum. You're creating charcoal. So if you blow out the candle and you plan to use the charcoal, the wick that's black now, so then it's a malocha tzricha legufa. If you mechabag achelas, you don't plan to use the charcoal, then it's a malacha shein tzvich legufa. If you mechabag achelas shel mateches, if you have, let's say, metal is glowing and you put out the fire, that can't be a malacha deraisa at all. There is no pechem. If there's no pechem at all, then it's not a malacha deraisa. So havara means to make eish. And mechabag doesn't mean to extinguish the eish. Mechabag means to create pechem. So to put out the electric bulb, that can't be a deraisa. Everybody agrees. But the light, the kechelo shel mateches, the Rab Chaim Moshe held that that was a malocha deraisa. Chaim Moshe Rab Soloveitchik said when he went to university in Berlin, his parents lived in America already. His father was teaching in Yeshiva College, teaching Gemara. So when he wanted to talk and learning with someone who knew how to learn, so he would take the train to Vilna and talk and learning with Rab Chaim Moshe. All the yeshiva guys were talking and learning with Rab Chaim Moshe, but because Rab Soloveitchik was the grandson of Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, so that's why he was zeichet to have more his karvas than most other people. And when Rab Baruch Be'er would hear that the Rebbe's grandson is coming to visit the Rab Chaim Moshe, he would make sure to come to Vilna also to talk and learning with Rab Soloveitchik. So Rab Soloveitchik said he remembered on different occasions being there on Matzoy Shabbos where Rab Chaim Moshe would make Avdolah. He would be Mahadar to recite Barim Yoreh on an electric bulb to demonstrate to the public that he doesn't agree with the Maharsham, that he holds that it's Eish Deraisa. Yeah. So if you're going to use an electric flashlight, the old style electric flashlight that has a little bulb that has a filament in it, then you're heating the metal filament till it glows. So that's Eish. So that's Mamish Bidika Loraner. That for sure is Bidika Loraner. The question is now they have new flashlights with LED lights or with fluorescent lights or other kinds. So that's not Eish Deraisa. So that's a question, is that acceptable for Bidika Aschamitz? Maybe you need Dafke Eish, you need Dafke Ner. That's a question. You need Dafke Ner. In halacha, we always rely on Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh knows how to apply the dinim and the chumash to new instances. Dinim don't have to be observed exactly the same way as it was observed in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yesterday, I attended a bris. My son, who lives in Woodmere, had a baby boy number 5. He had 4 boys till then. Now he has 5 boys. So they had a moel. So the moel did the mila and the priya b'vasachas. That's a modern thing. So many gedolim, when they were starting this in the days of the Rishonim, there were already those who wanted to change. And this week's Sedra in Parshas Lech Lecha is the mitzvah of Bris Milo. So the Gemara says in Perek Ha'Oral in Yevamos, towards the end of the Masechta, starting the Afayin, is Perek Ha'Oral. So the Gemara says in the days of there are two membranes that cover the Aver Hagid. So the outer membrane is a thicker one. That's called Mila when you cut that off. And then the lower membrane is a thinner one. So in the days of Avram Avinu, he was only Mukhiv to do Mila. He wasn't Mukhiv to do Priya. The Gemara says the obligation to do Priya began in the days of Yeshua ben Nun when they crossed over the Yarden, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Yeshua ben Nun, Shuv Molas Bnei Yisrael Shenis, they should do a second national Bris Mila on everybody. What do you mean? Everybody already had a Bris Mila. How can you do a Bris Mila a second time if you already had? So the Pasha Pshat is all the people who were born in the Midbar for 40 years who never had a Bris Mila. Because the Gemara says only Shevet Levi observed the mitzvah Bris Mila of Rizcha Yintzayru. Shevet Levi were not concerned about the weather conditions, and all the other Shvatim were concerned the weather conditions were such that it was slightly dangerous to perform a surgery to do a Bris Mila. It may not heal. So most of the Shvatim were concerned. So for them it was called the Safik Sakana. So nobody observed Bris Mila for 40 years in the Midbar. And Shevet Levi were the only ones. They were not concerned. So as far as they're concerned, there's no Safik Sakana. So they did observe Bris Mila. So that's the Pashup Shad. Shumol is Bnei Yisrael Shenis do a national Bris Mila on all the people who are born in the course of the last 40 years. But the Gemara in Ha'orel understands more than that, that even Shevet Levi, even those who did perform Bris Mila, and even those who performed Bris Mila in Mitzrayim before they left Mitzrayim, but were 40 years old by now, they had to do a second Bris Mila. What is it to do? There's nothing to cut off. The Gemara says no, because from the days of Avraham Avinu till the days of Yeshua ben Nun, the Mitzvah Mila only required to cut off the outer membrane, which is a thick skin, and the lower membrane is much thinner. So there was no need to tamper the lower membrane. And Shulma, as when they saw Shenis, from that time on, they were obligated to do Priya. They were obligated to fold back. You fold it back with your fingernail. That's how the Midrashim say, that's how the Gemara says. So in the days of the Rishonim, in the days of the Achronim, some of the Moilim wanted to change. Instead of doing the Bris Mila in two steps, doing the Mila separately and the Priya separately, they hold the two membranes together and they cut them both off. That's what the Moil did yesterday. So many Gedolim write against that. My son named his baby Meir, because yesterday was the Yahrzeit of Rav Meir Shapira, the one who founded the Lublina Yeshiva. She was Chachmi Lublina, the one who instituted the learning of Daf Yomi, that the Jews all over the world should learn the same Daf Gemara every day. Everyone should learn the same. I didn't realize yesterday was a Yahrzeit of Rav Meir Shapira. I'm at Tzoy Shabbos. I happened to be looking through some of the tshuvas of Rav Meir Shapira. So he has a tshuva about the Moilim in his time who wanted to change the practice. They cut off the Or HaMila and the Priya together. So he's opposed to it. He says the minig always was that they did it separately. Not everything is called the minig. Let's say just because you have a parechas for centuries, a blue parechas, you can't switch to a red parechas or a green parechas. The colors are not the makev. There's no din. Not every, let's say, for so many centuries, they had wooden chairs in the shuls. And if you want to change it, well, the shuls were made of wood. If you want to change it, they have bricks. So it's an avera. You're violating the minig. Not every sneeze is called a minig. You have to ask Talmid HaChamim, what's a minig and what's not a minig. Not everything is considered a minig. So Reb Meir Shapira has a tshuva. He quotes from Rishonim already. In the days of Rishonim, they wanted to change the Bris Mila to do both Bevasachas, the Mila and the Priya Bevasachas. So the Hungarians still do it separately, and everybody else does it together. So that's a question. Is that really considered a minig? So that's a question over here. Is it really considered a real din that you have to have Dafke a Ner? The Gemara learned that a whole series. In the days of the Tanoim, in the days of the Gemara, the only way to make a Bdikas Chametz was to have an Or HaNer as opposed to an Avuka. Maybe today, if you'll have a fluorescent flashlight, if you have an LED, strictly speaking, al pidin, it's not called Eisha, it's not called the Nair for Melech HaShabbos purposes for Havara. But it could be that for the purposes of Bedika HaTzchamis, Adava HaMeir is also good enough. That's a question. That's a question. So the Gemara has this long arichas on this Gzeira Shava. Then the Gemara says if you have Achsedra La'ora of Nivdekis. Achsedra is a room that has no walls and the sun is shining in. So let's say a person lives in a house and there are no walls at all. There are walls, but there are windows all over the place. So everything connected to the windows, Dina Kachsedra. So he doesn't have to do B'dikat Chametz Leil Yudalid every day. He sees that there's no Chametz. He looks around, he sees there's no Chametz. And even if it's not an Achsedra, you only have a window. You only have a window and one, either a window on the ceiling, Aruba, or you have a Chalon. Aruba is on the ceiling, and a window is a Chalon on the wall. So if the area that's mamish, mechuban keneged, the window, that's dina kachsedra, or in the deca, so you don't have to do bedikas chametz on leil yudalid there. What about to the right and to the left of the window? The window doesn't really shed light on the whole room. So that's what the Gemara says. A last line, Tana Rabbanan, last line, Hanzayin on the base, and bokim lo le'arachama. You shouldn't be bodek le'arachama to the right and to the left of the window. Mechuban keneged the window, is dinu ki'achsedra, that you certainly can do the bedikas chametz. Okay. Then the Gemara on Chesem and Aleph is alluding to the din that appears later in the Masichta Lamed Aleph on the base. It's five lines from the bottom of Chesem and Aleph. Chametz enough lal ma'polis arehu kimavur. If ein akelev yochel achapes achrov. If a building fell down, this we think that there may be some chametz there, and the building fell on it, and there's more than three tvachim deep of debris on top of the chametz, then it's considered gemavur. That's how the Gemara says later on Daf Lamed Aleph on the base. Why do you need three tvachim? So the Gemara explains there is a din that if a person is a shema and ksofim, ksofim ein lahem shmira ela bekarka. If let's say I'm a shema and I'm a shema and kesh, so I'm going to put the kesh in the drawer. So I'm going to put the kesh in the drawer in my office. My office, I always leave the office open so anyone can walk in, open up the drawer and take the money. So that's pshia. So what if I put the money behind the svarim in the bookcase also? That's also pshia. That's not a good shmira. So how do you do pshmira? So Gemara says, today you can't do it. In the days of the Gemara, they had a dirt floor. So you have to dig up part of the floor, put the money in. So ksof menam shmira ala bekarka. If the shmira didn't hide it in the karka, and then he's posheya. So if a ganav comes and he steals it, you don't say Hashem mechinim is potan geneva aveda. This is a geneva. Geneva is a shtikaloinus. You say no, since he didn't hide it bekarka, so that's called a pshia. So how deep does he have to hide it? He needs three tvachim of karka on top of the money. So Gemara says no. By chometz, the chometz is food, so the kelev can smell. He's going to sniff, so he's going to smell it. So you have to have three tvachim. So the kelev can't smell it. If it's more than kadeh hafis and sakelev, if it's more than three tvachim or more deep, then it's areyu kemavur, and then you don't have to do bedikas chametz. But as far as shmira bikarka, ktsofim einam shmira, ala bikarka, there it's enough if you have one tefach deep. Let's say for kvura purposes, you have to bury kvuras ameis. The Gemara has, there's a passing of chumash, I think it's in Parsha Shoftim. In Chumash Devarim, Kiyah Beish Chet Mishpat Mabes Vuhumas Vasalisa Salaitz. Then it says, Kabatik Brenna Bayamu Kikilos Alekim Tolly. Have a mitzvah Kvuras. And the Chumash only says Kvura by Haruge Bezin. And Nevis says, a person was Mason Bitosai. Bezin didn't put him, they didn't punish him, they didn't give him the death penalty. He died a natural death. He died in a hospital. He died from old age at home. So that never really says you need kvur. So we learn out from the kefaloshen kovetik berenah bayamahu. The kefaloshen We accept Rabbi Akiva's opinion. We darshan something. We assume that it must be teaching me something extra. So it says a lot of times, hanik tanik, nosin titen, b'sach tiftach mos yumos. A lot of times you have kefa loshen. So we always pass like Rabbi Akiva that you darshan something. So here it says, so we assume that it's marbe, even non-harugi bezin, even a person died a natural death from old age. Also, there's a mitzvah of kvura min haTorah. There's a Lacha Mishnah. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a whole tshuva where he quotes the Lacha Mishnah, points out that if you look in Sanhedrin, I think it's Memvav on the base, Umar has two brises, one after the other. Two brises are practically word for word exactly identical. So why did the Gemara bother to quote two brises that say exactly the same thing? So he says that the Alech Mishnah points out on the Rambam, there's a problem with the Rambam. So he points out that there is a slight discrepancy between the two brises. The one brise says, Remez l'gvura min haTorah min hai. Where is there a Remez? Remez usually has the connotation that it's only an asmachta min haRabban. The other brise says, Minai l'gvura min haTorah, shenema kovetik berenu. So the Lech Mishnah suggests that it's a machlokes hatanoim, and it ought to be a machlokes hatanoim. That should be the shaila, whether you darshan l'shem is kvulim. If you are like Rabbi Shmuel, they just say dibeter k'lishem ben yodam. Kodesh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter, but he dictated it in Hebrew, the way people speak. So people speak a lot of times; they say words that are unnecessary. They repeat themselves. So then Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is you have no right to darshan l'shem is kvulim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu the way people would talk. So you don't darshan when a person repeats the same thing twice, you don't darshan it. And we assume lahalacha, like Rabbi Akiva, lo debetokim shamani adam, every word in the Chumash counts. So it says, kovetik berenu, we assume that it's minatorah. It's not that it's just remez l'kvura, it's not an asmachta mid rabbanon, it's a real din deraisa, that kvura b'shamesim is really a din deraisa. So you need, we assume kvura b'karka. It's not just enough. You wrap up the body, and he's not exposed. You have to bury kovetik berenu b'yamahu afrata v'alafa toshu. You have to do kvura b'karka. So how deep does it have to be? The dead body has to be 6 feet under, literally 6 feet under. So it says in Rav Moshe has a tshuva. He says no gimel tvochim is enough. How does he know gimel tvochim? Because in Shulchan Aruch they quote brises. If you have mesim, a lot of times the cemetery is so full of mesim, so they have to have two layers of mesim. So originally, when he started burying people there 600 years ago, so they buried taka 6 feet under. Then if you have the whole cemetery is full of mesim, and you dig out some of the offer, so as long as you have six tvochim in between the bottom mace and the mace on top, that's good enough. Why six tvochim? So Moshe explains, each mace needs three tvachim above for lamaila lamata and midalad ruchas on all six sides, above and below, and northeast, southwest. So if you have three tvachim above belong to that mace on the bottom, and the next three tvachim above are the offer mitachas, the mace directly above. So if you have six tvachim above in between the top mace and the bottom mace, each mace has three tvachim in all directions. So Ramosha assumed that's the din. That the kvura b'karka sweet tvachim, even though the swara of the Gemara about the dogs being able to smell, it's not relevant over here, but that's the shear. The shear is three tvachim of offer. Yeah, then the Gemara discusses what if there's a slight sakana at the time that you're going to do the bedikas chametz. What can possibly be a sakana? His next door neighbor is a Nochri, and he's going to do a bedika. There's a wall separating between his backyard, his home, and the next door neighbor's home. They share a building. He's going to do a bedikas chametz with an ora near Balayla in the middle of the night in the Chorin in his Dokin. So the Nochri may be suspicious. What kind of kishif is he trying to do over here? What kind of shtick is my next door neighbor Jew doing over here? So it may bring about a sakana. So Plemo is one of the tanaim. So Plemo says, if your next door neighbor is a nachri, so don't look for trouble. It's a suffix sakana. So you're not mechuyev to do bedikas chametz. How much of a suffix sakana could it be, really? What? It's a 50-50 suffix sakana. It's a very far-fetched suffix sakana. But nonetheless, the Gemara says in the end of the first parak in Ksubas, Whenever you're concerned about a suffix sakana, like now, there's an epidemic going on. So it's nowhere near 50-50. Half of the people in Washington Heights didn't die. Half of the people in the world didn't die. It's nowhere near half the people in the world. But still, it's still considered a suffix sakana. The din is that if someone is sick on Shabbos and there's a suffix sakana, if it's necessary, even a Jew can drive him to the hospital on Shabbos, even though we assume that a Jew driving a car on Shabbos should be a melacha deraisa because he's burning fuel. But it's permissible and obligatory to be mechalel Shabbos with a melacha deraisa whenever this is suffix sakana. So the Gemara says, but what if the odds are that he's going to die anyway, even if I will be mechalel Shabbos? He's so sick, he's probably not going to survive. But the odds are, if I wait till after Havdalah, he will not die anyway. So why should I be allowed to drive him to the hospital on Shabbos? The likelihood is that I'll drive him to the hospital on Mitzvah Shabbos, I'll take care of him then. So Gemara says, still, even though the odds are Ben Koviko is going to die, Ben Koviko is going to survive, still, since there's a slim chance that you may be saving his life by being Mechal Shabbos, by driving him to the hospital on Shabbos, so you're permitted and obligated to be Mechal Shabbos on a Melocha Deraisa. Yeah. Unless it's mamish a suffik, the Chasam Sofer writes, unless if it's a suffik echad mini elef alfi alofim, if it's a ridiculous suffik that no one is concerned about, so then that's not called a suffik sakana. That's ridiculous. But if it's a reasonable suffik sakana, so then the din is that it depends. Then the Gemara quotes the pasuk Shem Epsayim Hashem and Tehillim and Psukah Dezimra of his Shabbos Vesayim Shem Epsayim Hashem. So that's where Rab Chaim Moshe writes, whenever you have a suffix sakana, Chaim Moshe has a tshuva nachiyazer, whenever there's a suffix sakana that's nowhere near 50-50, half of the people in the world are not dying from this virus, from the coronavirus. But for those who are concerned, it's considered a suffix sakana. For those who are not concerned, it's not considered a suffix sakana. Yeah. So the Gemara has a din over here. When a person shluchei mitzvah einam nizokim, he had three lines on the bottom on chesam and aleph. The Gemara learns that from psukim on chesam and shluchei mitzvah einam nizokim. That in the midbar, Shevet Levi, the weather conditions were such that there was a bit of a suffix sakana. So Shevet Levi had more bitachon than the other shvatim. So they performed the bris milah, they were not nervous. And all the other shvatim were afraid, all the others were nervous. So what was the percentage of a suffix sakana? What was the percentage? Usually we have a klal, shluch mitzvah, ein nizokim. When you're doing a mitzvah, you shouldn't be concerned. So why were all the shvatim, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu tell him you shouldn't be concerned? So what, you have to say that what? That it was a miut hamotzui. And the Gemara says an Amid based, whatever, Shchiyah Hazeka, simple translation, Shchiyah Hazeka means a miyot hamotzi. If you have a miyot hamotzi, such a high percentage of a miyot that there may be a sakana, then you don't apply the rule of Shlucha Mitzvah, Einam Nizokim. Exactly how much is miyot hamotzi? The concept miyot hamotzi, that expression was coined by the Ramban in the beginning of Chulin. The Ramban quotes a Medrash, where the Medrash says, we spoke about it, Miyagalo Afa Me'enecha Adam Arishan, the same day he was created, he was instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and the same day he didn't have self-control, and he and his wife both violated the Tzibut, the same day. So the Medrash says, has an understanding, if they would have waited till Leil Shabbos, Adam Arishan was created on Erev Shabbos, if he would have waited the Leil Shabbos, it would have been permissible to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So he didn't even have the self-control to wait a few hours till Leil Shabbos. So the Medrash has an expression, Mi yigalo ofer me'enecha Adam Harishain, who will dig out Adam Harishain, is buried in the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. We should dig him out and clear off his eyes. Let him look at the Jewish people, that when we shech the behema and we finish the shechita, we don't eat the meat right away. First we check the lungs, to see if there are any sirchas on the lungs, and then we eat. So the Ramban raises the question, why do we only, so in other words, we have self-control. We don't rush to enjoy the pleasures of Olam Hazeh right away. We wait a little bit. Why does the Medrash only, the Ramban raises the question, why does Medrash only say that we check to see if there are any sirchas on the lungs? There are 70 different, there are shivim, 70 different kinds of trefas. So why are we only concerned about a sircha on the lungs? So the Ramban says, obviously, all the other trefas are mir she'eino motzi, the sirchas on the lungs is a mir tamotzi, and that's the din. Even though in Torah you have the right to go basaroi, you're not even mechuyev to check for sirchas on the lungs, but mid the Rabbanan, they were machmir, that you should be concerned, whenever you have a mir tamotzi, you should be concerned. So it's not, Rav Soloveitchik used to say, it's not halacha moshe m'sinai, davka sirchas on the lungs. Whenever there's a mir tamotzi, then you mechuyev to be bodek. So he pointed out, how much is a mir tamotzi, what percentage is it? So the Darkei Tshuva by the Minkatra is a likut of all the achreinim on Yeridea. So the Darkei Tshuva quotes from the Mishkanes Yankiv, who was a Litvish. The Mishkanes Yankiv says a mir tamotzi is 10% or above. So Rav Soloveitchik said, in America, that's taka the percentage. He said, he used to give a hashgacha in the slaughterhouse in Boston, and he said they had good shochtim, and they were always boidik, the sirchas, for sirchas, and he was a big makel on sirchas, he said, but they always had approximately 14% of all the animals had sirchas on the lungs that he couldn't be makel on. So that's more than 10%. So Rav Soloveitchik was assuming like the Mishkanes Yankiv. That's how many assumed. Till recently, everyone assumed like the Mishkanes Yankiv. That's what the Darkei Tshuva quotes. 10% likelihood or above is considered a mir tamotzi. Rav Yashiv had a chumra. He taught 7% and above is a mir tamotzi. Why? Because in Eretz Yisrael, for over 100 years, the last 100 years, they kept records of how many animals at the slaughterhouses, how many animals become nevelus. And they have to check on every sheikhet. What percentage of the animals does he do an improper shechitah? If he has too high a percentage of nevelus, then you fire him. You get yourself a better sheikhet who knows how to do the shechitah better. But the question is, what percentage of the animals will turn out to be treifas? So in Eretz Yisrael, it's not 14% like in America. Apparently the air is less polluted. So in Eretz Yisrael, for over 100 years, the record was 7% of all the behemoths that are shechted turn out to have sirchas on the lungs. So Rav Eliashiv suggested that that medrash that the Ramban quoted, Miigala Ofa Meinecha Odom Arishan, that Odom Arishan didn't have self-control to wait till Leil Shabbos, he would have been permissible to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and he violated the din the same day he was created, the same day he was instructed. He violated this and he ate from the Eitz Hadas. So the Medrash was probably written, the Medrash says, Adam Rishon could look at the Jewish people when a woman becomes a Nida, so the husband has to wait at least a week. If she's a Zava Gedola, then you have to wait Shivanikim. You have to wait Shivanikim, and it takes a couple of days till the Dam ends. So our meaning is that we wait 5 days, then you wait 7 days. It's almost 2 weeks. You wait a long time. Or when you plant the trees, so the first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat any pears that grow, have a din of arlo. So the Medrash has all these examples that we're bodik for the sirchas, and we wait the 3 years of arlo, and the husband waits till the wife is able to go to the mikveh. So the Medrash was probably composed in Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, it could be that the percentage of treifas of sirchas on the lungs was the same in the days of the Gemara as it is today. So just like today, it's only 7%. Could be that it's only 7% then, and still the Medrash considers it a mir tamotzi. Yeah, this is the din. It's based on that Ramban that we assume which vegetables you have to check for bugs. So if you have a mir tamotzi, then minator, you go basar raiv. If the raiv is that you're not going to eat any bugs, bugs also awesome. But if the raiv is you can eat any bugs, even though there's a mir tamotzi, minatar, you don't have to worry. But with the rabbanon, you have to be boidik. If there's a mir tamotzi or bugs, or let's say when you buy clothing, you have to check for shatnas. So if the raiv is that there's no shatnas and minatar, you're okay. But if there's a mir tamotzi, each brand, different manufacturers make clothing, some make with shatnas, some make without shatnas. They have to find out from the Shatnas testers which clothing is there a miyot tamotzi, and you'll be mechuyev in the rabbanon to be bodek for Shatnas. It all depends. Miyot tamotzi. The Ramban writes that this whole din of miyot tamotzi is only made the rabbanon. Yeah. Miyot tamotzi is made the rabbanon. So let's say over here in the midbar, what percentage of a suffix sakana was there? That for Shaded Levi, they were not nervous, so we say, Shem Epsayim Hashem. And for the other Shvatim, because they were nervous, so for them it was considered a suffix sakana. Otherwise, we don't understand why did Moshe Rabbeinu not take a stand? That's what the Chasam Sefer raises an issue. They had an Orthodox rabbi, Moshe Rabbeinu, so he should have given Tochacha to Shaved Levi that they're not allowed to practice Bris Milah. We should have given Tochacha to the other Shvatim. They're obligated to perform Bris Milah. So Mistame, it's a suffix sakana. Stama, it's a suffix sakana, which is nowhere near 50-50. So then it depends on Hashem Epsoim Hashem. And it was. So what happened to the din of Shluchim Mitzvah Einem Nizokim? Isn't that what it means? Shluchim Mitzvah Einem Nizokim. Whenever you're doing a mitzvah, you're not supposed to be worried about the miut she'enem motzi. So maybe what it means is that it was a miut hamotzi. It was 7%. It was more than 10%. Chashash, suffix sakana. When you have, the Gemara says, then you don't apply the rule of Shem, then you don't apply the rule of Shluchim Mitzvah, Einem Nizak. The Gemara proved that from the Psukim. That's the question. Shchiach Hazeka and Chesam Ebeis. Is that the same as Miot HaMotzei or is that less? Rabbi Chonan Wasserman has an essay where he thinks that Shchiach Hazeka is less. Then it's a miut she'ena motzi. I don't know. I don't know. I thought it's the exact same word, shchiach hazeke. I thought it's the same as a miut hamotzi, shchiach hamotzi, the same thing. I thought it was the same thing. So maybe that's what it means. When you have a miut hamotzi, but it's still only a miut, so then we apply the rule of Shem Epsayim Hashem for the people who are nervous. It's considered a suffix sakana. The people are nervous. It's not considered. Because if it will be less than a miyot hamotzi, if it wouldn't be shchiach hazeka, then you should really apply the rule of shluchim mitzvah ein and nizok, and the fellow shouldn't be nervous. He has no right to be nervous about it. There are different kinds of roiv. That's going to be a sugi on daf tesam at Aleph. We have a din that we follow chazoke whenever you don't know what the facts are. The Gemara in the first perek in Chulin has on daf yud and daf yud Aleph. Menoh hamilsa dam rabbana nazlina basa ruba. So you go basa roiv. Menoh hamilsa dam rabbana nazlina basa chazoke. Chazoke kamaisa. What if there's a conflict between Roiv and Chazaka? Roiv tells you to go in one direction, Chazaka tells you in the other direction. So that's a machlokes ha-tanoim. So we paskin Ruba v'Chazaka, Ruba Adif, and Reb Meir is of the opinion the Ruba Chazaka is Shkulim. Yeah. So why do we paskin Ruba v'Chazaka, Ruba Adif if the Roiv pulls in one direction, Chazaka pulls in the other direction? How come the Roiv wins? So the Pnei Yeshua on Ksubis in the Kuntri Sachran on Daftes, when the Gemara talks about Sveksveke, Roiv and Chazok and Sveksveke, so the Pnei Yeshua explains why. He gives a very good explanation. He says Roiv is supposed to be Mevar, what the facts of the case are. Chazok means when you don't know what the facts are, but you know what the facts used to be. You know what the status quo was, so then you should assume that it didn't change. You should have, you have the right to assume Ben L'Hakal, Ben L'Hachmer, that the status quo is being maintained. But if you have a roiv in one direction, chazok in the other direction, so then chazok doesn't apply. We pass on Allah, ruva chazok, ruva adif. Why? Because the roiv is mevara what the facts of the case are. So if you know what the facts are, then you don't go basa chazok. Chazok is status quo is when you don't know what the fact, you know what the facts used to be. So you have the right to assume it's a din hanhoge. You have the right to assume that everything is status quo. But if the roiv tells you what the facts are, so then you have the right to apply chazokin. But that's why we say, ruba v'chazok, ruba adif. So Tosfos learns the Gemara Daf Tesam at Aleph. We didn't get there yet. Daf Tesam now. The Gemara has an expression: Ein Sofik Moitzi Midei Vaday. If you have a Vaday on a case and you have a Sofik, so the, and there's a conflict between the Sofik and the Vaday, so it's going to be Shkulim. What are they talking about? Ein Sofik Moitzi Midei Vaday. So Rashi basically explains it, and Tosfos that Rashi and Tosfos, they both say the same shot. Vaday means you have a Chazaka. I know what the status quo was. And Sofik means I have a Roiv. I have a Roiv Garua. There are 1,000 different levels of Roiv. There's a Roiv of 99.99%. There's a Roiv of 99%. A Roiv of 98%, 97%, 96.5%. Then there's a Roiv of 51%. There's a Roiv of 52%. There are 1,001 different levels, Al Pidin, of Roivs. So sometimes the Roiv is so strong that even Sofik Nefashis, the Chasam Sofer says, even Sofik Nefashis, you ignore the Roiv. Because it's just utterly ridiculous. And and sometimes you have a Roiv with a Miyut HaMotzui against it. So the Miyut HaMotzui plays a role on the level of the Rabbanan. There's a Chavis Bedikim in the Rabbanan. You have to be Boidik for Treifis only in Tzichus and the Reya. Other treifus is mir sheina motzi. I mentioned Rab Soloveitchik said it's not a halacha Moshe Messina that it only applies to sirchas on the lungs. The Ramban explained whenever there's a mir tamotzi. Mir tamotzi in the Mishnah Sankhya says means over 10%, according to Rab Al Yashiv, over 7%. So Rab Soloveitchik pointed out that in the springtime when all of the animals are out grazing outside, in the wintertime it's cold, so the animals are freeze. So they keep them inside, but in the springtime they keep them outside. So the young calves, it's very common, they have fences, and the fences, the wooden fences are held together with nails. So it's very common for the calves to chew the nails and to swallow the nails, and the nails make a hole in the kishkis of the animal. And a nekev and the bnei me'ayim is also a treifa. So Rab Soloveitchik said that in the springtime he found that it was a miyut hamotzui of Nikovim in the Bnei Me'ayim because of in the calves and the young calves. So he felt that there's a Chavis Bedika over there. He said the Chavis Bedika that the Ramban came up with doesn't only apply, happen to apply in the case of the Sirchas on the lungs. The Medrash says Sirchas on the lungs. But if in our generation we see that there's a Miyut HaMotzei of over 10% with respect to nails making perforating holes in the Bnei Me'ayim and the Kishkas, so there's a Chavis Bedika on that as well. And Eretz Yisrael, in order to prevent that from happening, so they would put a magnet in the stomach of an animal, and whenever the calf would swallow nails, so the magnet would catch the nails, and it wouldn't continue to travel. The nails wouldn't continue to travel further into the kishkis, so it would prevent making any nekovim in the bnei me'ayim. So that's how they saved these animals from treifas. But if you don't have, I remember they showed me when I visited Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim many years ago. So they showed me the magnet before they put it into the stomach of the cow, shiny, a square thing, a cup of 4 inches by 4 inches, something like that. And then they shechted a cow, and then they showed me the magnet after they took it out. It looked disgusting. It was all black, and it was all full of nails. It picked up an awful lot of nails. And because there's so many different enzymes in the stomach, so all of those chemicals had a chemical reaction, and the metal changed the color, totally different color. So that was the chachma that they have in Eretz Yisrael to prevent the covering from developing the bnei me'ayim. So they prevented by putting in a magnet. Yeah. So the Gemara is going to have on Tesam and Aleph. When do you say Ruba v'chazaka Ruba Odif? If the Roiv leads you in one direction, Chazaka leads in the other direction. So Roiv is Mevarer. And Chazaka is not a Bir. Chazaka is only a Din Hanhog. If you don't know whether the situation changed, you assume Ben L'Hokal Ben L'Hachman that it didn't change. Everything stayed the same. So that's a din hanhaga, but the din hanhaga don't apply whenever you are mevara what the facts of the case are. So the Gemara says, when you have ruba v'chazaka, do you say that the roiv is mevara or not? So the Gemara says, in the end of Yevamos, That should depend on the machlekes Rav Meir and Chachamim. Rav Meir holds chashin and lemiyuta, and the Rabbanon hold loy chashin and lemiyuta. The Gemara explains why. So the Gemara says the end of Yevamos. Rav Meir holds chashin and lemiyuta because he holds that the miyut is command the isei dami. Rabbanon hold loy chashin and lemiyuta because they hold that the miyut is command the leisei dami. What's that machlekes? Whether the miyut is command the isei dami, command the leisei dami? So the pashta says that the machlekes is when the Torah says acharam lahata says that a Biror, Torah is telling us that Roiv is enough to be Mevara, or the Torah is telling us that just like Chazoka is a Din Hanhoga, so Roiv is also a Din Hanhoga. It's really not enough to be Mevara, but it's a Din Hanhoga. See, if you have an exceptionally strong Roiv, so then the Gemara will a lot of times call it Chazoka. Chazoka, not in Parei Tochsman. Chazoka means a very strong Roiv. So then everyone agrees that a very strong Roiv is a Biror. And if it's a weaker roiv, even the Rabbanan will agree that it's only a din hanhoga. If it's a roiv garua, Tosis coins an expression, there's a roiv garua and there's a roiv bari. Let's see, you have a roiv at 51% as opposed to 49%. So that's not enough, 51% as opposed to 49%. Maybe it's enough to win the election, but in the United States of America, but it's not enough to say it's a birur. It's a din hanhoga, you know, you get according to the roiv of 51%. So if you have a roiv garua contradicting a chazaka, it'll be shkulim. And if you have a superior roiv, a very strong roiv, then everyone agrees that ruba v'chazaka ruba. If the machlegs are mer, the rabbanon is a roiv 80, 85%, 90%. Is it only such a roiv that only has a miuta, the miuta against it? Let's say 98% roiv. Even Rav Meir agrees that that's a biror. So if it's a roiv bari miyod, a very sturdy roiv that only has miyuta and the miyuta, Rav Meir is not chayish lemiyuta. That's the Gemara, the first daf in Gittin. Whereas even Rav Meir chayish lemiyuta does not apply by miyuta the miyuta. Why? If it's a roiv like 98% or something like that, everyone agrees that it's a biror. So if everyone agrees a biror, then ruba v'chazok and ruba adiv, because roiv is a biror. And Chazok is only a din hanhoge. Of course, Ramakam Birur, you don't follow hanhoges. But if it's a rave of 85%, that's a machleg zameh rabban. Rameh holds chashin lemiyuta, that the rave is only a din hanhoge. So if you have a rave contradicted by a chazoke, it's a hadin hanhoge contradicted by a din hanhoge. So it's shkulim. And we paskan no, we paskan ruba v'chazoke, ruba odif. If it's a rave bari, then you say ruba odif. There are different levels of roiv al pidin. So we said the Ramban usually says when you have a miyut hamotzui, the zechayv is bedikim and the rabban. You have to check for shatnas, you have to check for bugs in the vegetable, you have to check for treifus if it's a miyut hamotzui. Yeah, that's only mid the rabban. But on the level of the rice, it plays a role. If it's a miyut hamotzui, then if it's a miyut hamotzui, it plays a role here by Sofik Sakona. That even though Shluch HaMitzvah ain't in the Zeken, but Shchiach HaZeka, then you say, then it's Yechoshish Min HaTorah. Usually, Meot HaMotzim only Yechoshish Min HaRabbanim, so you have to be Bodik for Shatnas and Bodik for the Sirchas. But by Sofik Sakona, why Meot HaMotzim, then you're not allowed to do the activity. Then it's a Meot HaMotzim, that's a Sofik Sakona. But L'chorif and Nigmar would appear that in that case, then you say, Shevet Levi is not nervous, and for those, then you apply Shem Psaim Hashem. In that case, when it's a Miyut HaMotzeh, that's what it looks like. Then the Gemara has on, usually we have a klal that it's a Mishnah in the end of the first Perek in Kiddushin, that there's all the mitzvahs essay in the Torah divided into two categories. The Chayvus Karka and the Chayvus Aguf. Chayvus Karka is what we call, otherwise known as Mitzvah Hatluya Ba'aretz, the agricultural mitzvahs, Trumas and Mises, Leket Shikhapeya, Shmita V'yoyvel, Peret Ololos, all those mitzvahs. So the Chayvus Karka only apply in Eretz Yisrael min HaTorah. Mid the Rabbanon, sometimes they introduced Barotzes HaSmuches L'Eretz Yisrael, fine. And then the rest of the mitzvahs are Chayvus Aguf, Mitzvah Shein Hatluya Ba'aretz. So the mitzvah shein atliyas ba'aretz, and noig bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz, all over the world. This Gemara has an exception to the rule. that with respect to the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, M'she'en Lo Karka Be'eretz Yisrael, whoever doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael is not mechuyev to be Aliyah L'Regel. We know in Bayis She'ni, many people from Chutz La'aretz would travel for weeks to be Aliyah L'Regel, not just for Pesach, for the Shol Shigon, they would come. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to, it means you're not obligated. M'she'en Lo Karka Be'eretz Yisrael is not obligated to be Aliyah L'Regel. But if he wants to, he certainly have a kiyum mitzvah, yeah. So that the Gemara learns that from a pasuk. What kind of a din is that? What kind of a strange din? Usually a chayvus haguf, not a chayvus karka. Why should it only be limited to the people who live in Eretz Yisrael? So we said when we learned the Tosis earlier, by Hahu Aramo, Tosis had one suggestion that Mishen or karka, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera lived in the Tzivin, and the Tzivin was in Chutz La'aretz. Where was that Tosis? On Gimel Amud Beis. The Tzivin wasn't Chutz La'aretz. The Tosis says, Hinami, the Tosis di Mamascha me'alya. Hinami, the Tzivin Chutz La'aretz, and one who lives in Chutz La'aretz is not mechuyev to participate in Korban Pesach. So we said, it's a Pella. It says on the side, look in the Mishnah Melech, kol di rat Tosis demuim, mitchilosam, v'yatzoy, for me, he doesn't understand. Where did Tosis get it from? So we said over from the author of the Sefer, Ema Bon Mismecha, he has beautiful, normal Shalas Achubas. He was a Hungarian rabbi. The Hungarian usually have a different style of learning. But he has very normal. He has our style of learning. He analyzes all the dinim. He quotes Makoris from the Rishonim and from the Gemara. It's very nice, regular chubas. Very nice chubas. So he suggested a pshat. What's pshat in Taisis? That'll be probably the same pshat in this Gemara, Chesam and Beis. Why is Mishen lo kark? Why should he be potter from Aliyah L'Regel? Why should he be potter from Korban Pesach? So he says that maybe these are really chayvus hatzibur. When you have a chayvus hayochid, so then you say the chayvus hayochid applies. If it's a chayvus haguf, then it applies even a chutzlar. It's a chayvus karka, so it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. But if it's a chayvus hatzibur, then we have the Rambam wrote in a few places that the tzibur of Klal Yisrael, the tziruf of the tzibur together, the ikar tziruf is only applicable to those who live in Eretz Yisrael. A nation has to have a national homeland, so you relate to the homeland. But if you live in a national homeland, then there's a stronger tzirut. The fact that we live in America, well, we say we're big Zionists. We talk about Eretz Yisrael, we send money to Eretz Yisrael, but we're not living in Eretz Yisrael. But at least we recognize Eretz Yisrael as our national homeland. Those who don't recognize Eretz Yisrael as a national homeland, they're not even part of the second category of Klal Yisrael. That's what the Avnei Nezer has in tshuva, that the Reform movement for many years left out Eretz Yisrael and Shivas Zion from the davening. They weren't interested in moving to Eretz Yisrael. They described themselves the Reform movement was very, very strong in Germany when it first began. So they described themselves as Germans of the Mosaic religion. They believed in the Torah. But they didn't consider themselves as Zionists. They didn't consider the Jewish people as a nation that needs a national homeland. They felt that they're good German citizens and they believe in the Jewish religion. So that's not what it's supposed to be. We are supposed to feel that Bnei Yisrael are a nation, Am Yisrael, and the Ikat Tziruf of Klal Yisrael applies to those who actually live in Eretz Yisrael. And there's a secondary tzir of those who relate to Eretz Yisrael. But those who don't even relate to Eretz Yisrael, they don't even recognize Eretz Yisrael as their national homeland. So they don't even have that second, the lower level of a tzir of Hatzibur. So that's what the Ema Bonim Smecha has in one of his svarim, in his tshubas, HaChelek Arachayim. He says, maybe that's why Nishein Lo Karka, whoever doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael, maybe is not Mechuyev in Aliyah L'Regel, not Mechuyev in Korban Pesach, because these are mitzvahs that are obligatory, these are mitzvahs Hatzibur. The tzibur only applies to those who actually live in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam has it with respect to several dinim. The Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Bechoris and Daf Chavtes that smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael because smicha is not a private affair. Smicha, the one who's giving smicha to his student, is giving the smicha as representing all of Klal Yisrael. So all of Klal Yisrael only applies to those who actually live in Eretz Yisrael, but poil mamish. And then the Rambam, and where did he get this idea from? That only those who actually live in Eretz Yisrael constitute Klal Yisrael. So he got that from the Gemara in the beginning of Harias, that with respect to the din of Parhal and Dovashal Tzibur, halot behayra, when it comes to the Bez Nagodl, made a mistake in Psak. They allowed a certain Chilul Shabbos activity. They, by mistake, they said it's mutter, and then they back out, and they, or later Bez Nagodl backs out, and they say, no, that's a Chilul Shabbos deraisa. So whoever violated Chilul Shabbos is obligated to bring a chatos. Whoever violates an aver b'shoigig, which if he would have violated that aver b'mezit, would have been chayv koreis. So if you violate aver b'shoigig, you're chayv chatos. What if the roiv hatziba violate the aver b'shoigig based on a mistake in psak of the Bez Nagodl? So then you don't require each and every individual person to bring his own chatos. Bez Nagodl brings one par helam dover shal tzibar chatos, and everybody gets a kapar. But that's only a 51% of the Klal Yisrael violated that iser. Bahayroa, and what do you mean Klal Yisrael? So the Gemara's loshen is Bahayroa, with respect to the din of Parhal and the Obshal Tziba, that the Bez Nagodl made a mistake in Psak and Hayroa, Aloch Acharov Yoshvei Eretz Yisrael. Gemara says, how do you know that only those who live in Eretz are considered the Tzibur? In Elam Dov Me'eni HaKohol, how do you know that Kohol only applies to those who live in Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara says, based on the Pasuk in Sefer Melachim, that when Shlomo HaMelech completed the building of the first Beis HaMikdash, he celebrated Shivas Yamim and Shivas Yamim. They celebrated 7 days immediately prior to Sukkot. Then they celebrated another 7 days. Sukkot and Mars of that year included in the 7 days immediately preceding Sukkot is Yom Kippur. So the Gemara points out the Moed Katan in the first part that that year they ate on Yom Kippur because it says they were eating Karbonis all the 7 days. They brought Karbonis on Shabbos. The Gemara said they brought Karbonis on Shabbos and they brought Karbonis on Yom Kippur and they ate all the Karbonis. They were doiche everything. So the Gemara says, how do you know that only those who live in Eretz Yisrael are considered Kohol? Because it says when Shlomo HaMelech celebrated on the occasion of the completion of the building of the Bais Rishon, there was Kohol Gadol Melevo Chadmos Anachem Mitzrayim for the northernmost point in Eretz Yisrael Melevo Chadmos. Anachem Mitzrayim is Vadi Al-Arish, that's the southeastern border of Eretz Yisrael. Nachal Mitzrayim doesn't mean the Nile River. Some learn, Unkelus, I think, learns Nachal Mitzrayim is the Nile River, but we don't accept that. We assume like Rav Sadigan that it's Vadi Al-Arish, that's the border. So the Psukim say, what's Kohol Gogodl? What constitutes Kohol? Those who live in Eretz Yisrael. Well, the Hamas on Nachman Shrine for the northernmost point in Eretz Yisrael, to the southernmost point in Eretz Yisrael, that's called Kohol. So only those who live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam quotes that in the Pirush HaMishnayis on Chorus on Daf Chavtes, because the Mishnah there is talking about Smicha. So the Rambam says, how come Smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael? Because it's not a private affair. The Rebbe has Smicha from his Rebbe, had Smicha from his Rebbe, Ish Mipiyish and Moshe Rabbeinu all the way back. It's not a private thing that I have the ability to transmit the smicha to my Talmidim. I give smicha representing all of Klal Yisrael. The smicha has to be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. The one who's conferring the smicha has to be in Eretz Yisrael. The one who's receiving the smicha has to be in Eretz Yisrael. They both, the Gemara says in the Sanhedrin, they both have to be in Eretz Yisrael. And similarly, there's such a Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos. In mitzvah says in Kuf Nun Gimel, the mitzvah of Kviyas Haluach. The Rambam counts as one mitzvah. Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashan as one mitzvah together. Ramban thinks, according to the Halachas Gedolos, that they should be counted as two distinct mitzvahs. One mitzvah Kiddush HaChodesh, one mitzvah Ibra Hashan to decide which year needs 13 months, which year should leave with only one Ador, only has 12 months. And the Rambam puts the two together, the Kviyas Haluach. Kiddush HaChodesh with Ibra Hashan is one big mitzvah. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara in the first Perek in Sanhedrin, Halacha L'maaseh, that the Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashana has to take place in Eretz Yisrael, can't be done a Chutz L'Arz. He explains the reason why. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that Klal Yisrael would always exist, it'll never disappear. And if one can imagine Chas V'Shalom, that's what it says in the Hebrew translation. So that's probably what it says in the original Arabic. The Sefer HaMitzvah was also written in Arabic, like the Pirush HaMishnayis, and we use, those of us who don't know Arabic, use the Hebrew translation. So the Rambam there writes, and if one can visualize Chas V'Shalom, that there would be a Holocaust, and all the Jews in Eretz Yisrael would be killed, but there would be millions of Jews surviving a Chutz La'aretz, so then it would come out, there are no Jews, there's no there are no 10 Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, it will come out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu violated his promise, because only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are considered Klal Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz L'Aretz are Jewish, they have Kedushas Yisrael, and Mechuyev and Mitzvahs, but they're not Mitztaref Yachad, they constitute Klal Yisrael. So the Rambam writes, that's why Kiddush Al Chodesh and Ibar Hashanah has to be done by the Bezdin and Eretz. It's not the Bezdin, but there is Bezdin. The Bezdin making Kiddush Al Chodesh and Ibar Hashanah, from the Rambam, it sounds like he thinks they represent Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are really the ones who are making it Rosh Chodesh and making it Hashanah Muberes. And the Bezdin of three, or the Bezdin of seven, whatever, first Ibar Hashanah, first you start with the Bezdin of three, then you add another two, you make it a Bezdin of five. And by the time you give the psak din, the Shana Zuta Emu Beres, you have to have seven. L'chatchila, but the Ebed, if you have Bezdin of three, declared Ibar Hashanah be the Ebed, it would also be good. So that Bezdin of three, of seven, whatever it is representing Klal Yisrael when they declare Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibar Hashanah. So that's why it has to take place in Eretz Yisrael, because the Ikat Siruf of the Klal Yisrael is only in Eretz Yisrael. There are a couple of other Rambams. The Rambam writes by Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa only applies in Eretz Yisrael, but it doesn't depend on Kedusha Shnia, it depends on Kedusha Rishayna. So that's a Pela, but Kedusha Rishayna was Batla. So all the mitzvahs, Hatleis, Baratz, all depend on Kedusha Shnia. So the answer is this, Egla Rufa is not from the mitzvahs, Hatleis, Baratz, it's not an agricultural mitzvah. Why should it only apply in Eretz Yisrael? The answer is, it's a Chayvus HaTzibur, it's not a Chayvus HaYochid. So for the Chayvus HaTzibur, you have to have a Tziruf of the Tzibur together. The Tziruf of the Tzibur is only the Tzibur who happened to be in Eretz Yisrael. So the Tziruf is those who live in Eretz Yisrael, unrelated to the fact whether Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha or not. The national homeland, Eretz Yisrael is the national homeland of the Jewish people, even if you say that, like Kitcha Lasalavi, even if the Kedusha was Batla. That's why the Rambam writes that with respect to Egla Rufa, that only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Kimatz Chol Ba'adama, Asher Sham Lekach Nosn Lachal Derishta. The mitzvah of Egla Rufa only applies in Eretz Yisrael. It depends on the Gvulas Ha'aretz the first time around. Kedusha B'Shayna does depend on Kedusha Shnei because it's not a function of Kedusha Sa'aretz. The mitzvah Sa'aklei B'Sva Aretz, agriculture mitzvahs depend on the Kedusha Sa'aretz. But this is not an agricultural mitzvah. This is a word that the tzarif of Klal Yisrael is the fact that they're living in Eretz Yisrael. So that depends on the Gvulas Aretz the first time around. Yeah, there are several dinim in the Rambam that depend on Eretz Yisrael that don't really depend on Kedushas Aretz. It depends on the tzarif of the tzibur who happens to be living in Eretz Yisrael. The Minchas Chinuch has another Gemara at the end of the first parak in Maseches Tainus, where the Gemara says, Afilu ir gedoy lekeninve, where there were tens of thousands of Jews living there, but if they need the rain in the middle of the summer, they don't say v'sein talamatam baruch aleinu. You only say v'sein talamatam baruch aleinu if the tzibur needs rain. If yechidim need rain, you don't say v'sein talamat. You say in shmak aleinu, you need rain, so ask for rain in shmak aleinu, but not in baruch aleinu. So why is gedoy lekeninve? Why are they considered yechidim? So that's what the Minchas Chinuch says, because all of Chutz La'aretz is considered Kiyichidim. And that's how he explains the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yudaled. The Gemara says, Eremim halal al neshe b'chutz La'aretz. You only say halal on Chanukah, because the Nes of Chanukah occurred in Eretz Yisrael. The Nes of Purim, since the main Nes of Purim occurred in Chutz La'aretz, so it doesn't deserve to have halal. Why? Why is there a difference between Nes of Eretz al neshe b'chutz La'aretz? So the Maharsha, the Minchas Chinuch quotes the Maharsha. Maharsha says because a Nesha b'chutz la'aretz is probably going to be b'derech ha'teva. Nes Purim was b'derech ha'teva. Nes Chanukah was l'mayla min ha'teva. So you only say Hallel if it's a Nes of l'mayla min ha'teva. But the Minchas Chinuch quotes that from the Maharsha and the Chidushi Agoda. It's an interesting idea. But he suggests a different pshat in the Gemara. The Nesha b'chutz la'aretz is a Nes that happened to Yechidim. A Nesha Beretz Yisrael is a Nes that happened to the Tzibur. The Jewish people who live in Eretz Yisrael, even if there are only 10 Jewish farmers living in Eretz Yisrael, that's called Klal Yisrael. There are millions of Jews living all over the world and only 10 Jewish people living in Eretz Yisrael. So the 10 in Eretz Yisrael are Klal Yisrael. And the millions of Jews living all over the world are considered Ki Yechidim Domo. Yeah, so that's that was the suggestion of the Rabbi Socha Teichtal, and maybe Mishain Lo Karka, is potter from Korban Pesach, Taisa says, and potter from Aliyah L'Regel, because this is a Chayvus HaTzibur. Korban Pesach is a Korban Tzibur, the Gemara says. Strictly speaking, Korban Tzibur is only to minimum sofim that's paid for by the Machzan Shekel money. So the Korban Pesach is paid for by the Yechidim, so it's really a Korban Yochid. But in a certain sense, Taisa says, the Gemara in Yuma calls it a Korban Tzibur because it's Osi Bechenufya. Millions of people come together, all of Klal Yisrael comes together on Erev Pesach in the afternoon to bring Korban Pesach, so in a certain sense we consider it a Korban Tzibur. So that's what he suggests. Maybe in order to be mechuyev to bring the Korban Tzibur, it only applies to those who live in Eretz Yisrael. They have the tziruf of the tzibur, that's the main tziruf of Klal Yisrael, are the tzibur who live in Eretz Yisrael. So this is the Gemara Mishain LaKarka of Eretz Yisrael. It's potter from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Then the last few lines on Daf Ches on the base of the Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel. B'Hillel and B'Shama have a Machlokes. If you have a Oitza Shel Yayin Shemistapkim Heimenu in the middle of the meal, when the chef is preparing the meal, he's not going to go munching, eating chametz in his, holding on to a cookie and eating chametz, not going to go into the storage room and take out oil or fish or flesh or something. He's not in the middle of eating. He's not nibbling on food when he's preparing the meals. So that's called a mokum shemach nisim bechametz. Unless the practice is that the chef is always gnashing on candies when he goes into the storage room. But if he's not gnashing. So the only concern is if you have a oitzah shal yayin and it's a mokum shemistapkim emena b'em tzasuda, so then and yayin is ain't lo gvul, then they decide they want to drink more wine. They'll finish a bottle of wine, so they'll send the shamas and he'll be in the middle of eating a piece of bread. So then the oitzah shal yayin is a mokum shemachnisim b'chametz. If it's a mokum shemachnisim b'chametz, then you don't have to be boidik at all. If it is a mokum shemachnisim b'chametz, so then you have to be boidik two shuris. Which two shuris? So that was a machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel, whether you have the, let's say you have 50 barrels on the floor and 50 barrels on top of them, five level barrels on top of barrels. So Beis Hillel say you have to be boidik the top two. The top two means the top row and the front row, that's the first row, and the row below that or the row behind that. So that's machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel. How do we paskan the halacha? So usually the rule is Hilchas HaKerabi Yisuri Kishmol B'dine. And Rabbi is the one who says the top two, one below the other. And Shmuel says one behind the other. So our Gemara, it says the last three words. And Abchesam and Beis V'Hilchas HaKaba say to Shmuel, means that this is an exception to the rule. Usually Hilchas HaKerabi Yisuri. And Nisa the Heta, we usually pass like Rav. Here the Gemara is saying no, when they took the vote in the late days of the Amaroim, Rabbi Shmuel were the first generation of Amaroim. After Rabbi Yudah Nasi, Rav got smicha from Rabbi Nasi, and Shmuel was not zecha to get smicha, and the boat was leaving, so he had to leave, and he never got smicha. Once he goes to Chutz Lords, can't get smicha. He can only get smicha if the one is conferring this smicha. Rabbi Yudah Nasi, living in Eretz, and the one is conferring this smicha as an Eretz Yisrael, and the one is receiving this smicha as an Eretz Yisrael. So Shmuel waited till the last minute to go try to get smicha, and Rabbi Yudah Nasi was busy every day. And then the boat was leaving, so he had to leave. He left the bubble without ever getting smicha. So the Gemara says, we usually pass like Rav in Isa Beheta, we usually pass like Shmuel. And Dini Mamanus, what does it mean? The Pasha Pshat is that when they took a vote, in the many machlok, many disputes between Rav and Shmuel, so they took a vote the generations later, after the days of the Amorim, they took a vote. And it turned out that Ruben, the Ruben, the overwhelming majority of the cases, the din was always voted. It turned out like that. The din was always like Rabbi Nissim Heter, with a few exceptions to the rule, which the Gemara will spell out. And the din always turned out to be Ruben, the Ruben. The din was like Shmuel and Dina Mamanis, with a few exceptions to the rule, which the Gemara will point out. That's the push-up shot, I thought. Years ago here in America, there was a big machlokes, 100 years ago. Is that what it means? Or it meant no? Because Rav is an expert in Issa Beheta, so that's why the Chacham said, we're going to adopt the policy always to follow Rav. And Shmuel was an expert in Dini Mamanis, so we're always going to follow Shmuel in Dini Mamanis. That's a strange, what do you mean? He always votes Democrat, he always votes Republican. Why? Why should you always vote just because you're Republican? You always vote Republican. Democrat has to always vote Democrat. Whoever has the best candidate, you vote for him. Whoever has the best shita, you vote for him. Why should you always vote the policy? You always vote like Rabbi Nissim Mehta. Why? So the pashtus is, I thought the other way, that they took a vote on every issue, and then they saw, after many years of taking a vote, it turned out that Ruba de Ruba, they always voted, the majority agreed with Rabbi Nissim Mehta, and the overwhelming majority agreed with Shmuel. And Dini Mamana said, that's a question. Do you have this girsa hilchos akavase de Shmuel? So the margin it said, Mikol ha-poskim ha-rishonim ha-chronim, the poskim kirav, muchach, they didn't have this girsa. They didn't have the last three words. If the Gemara is saying that they took a vote and they passed like Shmuel, how can all the Rishonim pass like Rav? So apparently they didn't have that girsa, and they assume that this is covered with the klal that the Gemara says in Pcheres. Hilchosa kavasa de Rav beisurei ukishmuel bedini. We pass in Shmuel and we pass like Shmuel and dini mamanis, and we pass like Rav and Yisra Behetta. So this is Yisra Behetta. So the overwhelming majority, most of the Rishonim, didn't have that girsa. And they paskan like Rav over here, because they assume that din is like Rav in Issa Veheta. Yeah, on the next daf, on Tesamet Aleph, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah from Aholos. A mace is metame, a human being who's dead is metame, the highest level of tuma. Adam is metame, a dead body is metame, b'magam emasa uba ohel. Nivlas behema, that didn't have a shechita, if he shecht an elephant or a horse or a donkey, a treif animal, non kosher animal, shechita is not chal. So shechita is not chal is always going to be an avela. So if you have a nivlos behema, it's metame b'maga u b'masa, but it's not metame bo. It's not metame for 7 days either. Mace is metame for 7 days. In iri hazor shlishi shvi, from paraduma water, it's not enough just to go to mikveh. But if you just touch a nibbles behemoth, I pick up a piece of meat in the A&P. So if the piece of meat is not wrapped and I touch it with my fingers, then it's maga, tumas maga. If it's wrapped and I pick it up, even if I'm wearing a glove, so there's a double chatzitz, I'm wearing a glove, and the package is wrapped around, so it's a double hapsoka. Still, a nibbles behemoth is metame b'maga u'b'masa. So there's no maga here because the package is wrapped up, but it's metame b'masa. So it's metame b'masa, and you have to go to mikvah, and then you have higher shemesh. It'll be metame. You don't need 7 days, and you don't need hazal shlishi shvi. And then you have the shmoina shvatzim ha'murim b'toira. The chumash lists off the eight rodents. So those are just metame b'maga, and not metame b'masa. So if you're wearing gloves, or it's wrapped up, the rodent is a dead mouse, is wrapped up, and just picking it up, it's not metame b'masa. Only metame b'maga. Not metame b'masa, yeah. Mesa odam is metame b'maga masa ubiyoho. What about mesa akum? So in the days of the Tanoim, Rashi refers you here, I'm Tesam and Aleph, Rashi refers you to Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samach Aleph and Aleph, where there's a machlek, it's Rav Shimon bar Yochai, and a Chacham Rav Shimon bar Yochai, learns off in the Posim, Zos HaTorah odam ki yomiz ba'oyho. That's the beginning of Parshas Chukas, when it writes all the dinim of Parah Aduma. So it says, Zos HaTor, this is a din, Odom ki omiz ba'oil. So Reb Shimon has a drosha, Atem kruyim odom, einu mesolim kruyim odom. The nochem who die are only metame b'maga b'masa, they're not metame ba'ocha. The metame b'maga b'masa, if you touch it, you tell me for 7 days, and you need hazar shlishi shvi on the third day and on the seventh day. But it's not metame ba'ocha. And the Chachamim disagree. I'm hold that even Meseach Mosa metame ba'ocha. How do we paskin? So that's a machloikas. The Rambam paskins like Reb Shimon bar Yochai, the Meisei Akum are not metamim ba'ohel, and the Baalei HaTosfos think that din should be in the end above Metzia. Tosfos goes with the sheet. The Yochid v'Rab Malachi k'Rabim. Why should you think the din is like Reb Shimon bar Yochai, that Meisei Akum are not metamim ba'ohel? We should probably paskin like the Chachamim, and Meisei Akum metamim b'maga m'masa u'b'yohel. In the Shulchan Aruch it says that the proper practice should be that Kohanim should be careful. The Kohanim is not allowed to be metame lemeis. Kohanim should be careful not to go into a non-Jewish cemetery. So the question is why? All the dead bodies are 6 feet under. By walking in the cemetery, they're not going to have maga. They're not going to have any maga with the mace. The worst that can be is going to be tumas ohel. I'm walking on top of the mace. Mace is 6 feet under. So that's tumas ohel. There are three kinds of ochel. One ochel is I'm jumping on top of the mace, I'm walking on top of the mace. One is I'm sitting, minding my own business, and they carry a mace above my head, above my body. I'm laying down, let's say, and they carry a mace above me. And the third kind is what we call ochel hamshocha. There's a mace in one room, and all the doors are open, so the tumah travels from one room to the other if there's a roof, provided there's a roof. If there's no roof, the tumah does not travel. That's called ochel hamshocha. The tumah's ochel is nimshach. It extends from one room to the other because there's a roof that goes on top of all the different rooms. So even though the roof is not the same height, the roof in the hallway is taller than the roof in the rooms. It doesn't matter, and the roof is not a hemshach. But as long as that room has a roof and this room has a roof, and there's no hafsok in between, so then the tumas ochel continues. That's called, what's that called? Chabad rami. If this roof has more than a tefach al tefach, a roof on a room has way more than a tefach al tefach, has many, many amas by many, many amas. Whenever there's tefach al tefach, then it's a chabad rami. Even though the two roofs are on different levels, I consider it as if they would be on the same level, and the tumah goes from one to the other. That's called chavad rami. Chavad means you knock it down. Chavad rami applies to a sukkah also. That's a mishnah in the first parak in sukkah. Sukkah hamaduv lelis. If you have the schach and the sukkah is on two different levels, some of the schach is much higher than the lower schach. So if the schach on the lower level is within three tefachim to the edge of the schach on the higher level, on the higher level, so within three tefachim is lavud, it's considered one big hemshach. But even if it's a bigger gap, more than three tefachim in between, but the upper level has a tefach al tefach, has more than a tefach al tefach, so I consider it as if chavad rami. I consider it as if it's the schach continues, and all the schach is mitzaref yachad. That's the din of so that's oil hamshocha. There are three kinds of oil. So Rashi over here, so in Shulchan Aruch it says, Kohanim are not permitted to be metame lemeisim. Kohen is permitted to be metame to a nivlas behema. Only meis adam is not allowed to be metame. So the Shulchan Aruch says that the nochen lochesh lahachmir, Kohanim should be careful not to go into a non-Jewish cemetery. Why not? If you hold la'alocha like Rav Shimon bar Yochai, the meis akam are not metame ba'ohel. So what's wrong? He's not doing maga. He's not doing masa. The mesei akam are 6 feet under. There's no maga. There's no maga. There's ohel. I'm walking on top of the mesei akam. There's ohel, but there's no maga masa. So they give three different explanations why nochen lochesh lekohanim. So some say we should be choshev shishitas atosvis that mesei akam ametame boil. Tosvis thinks we should pass on like the chachamim, the Reb Shimon, not like Reb Shimon. Yochid v'rab malachikram should pass on like the chachamim. Other commentaries on Yerbedei explain, Kohanim should be careful not to walk in a Goyish cemetery because there may be a Jewish Meshumet who's buried there. The Jewish Meshumet is Jewish, even though he converted to Christianity, but Afal Pishachati Yisrael, he's still Jewish. When he dies, he's Metame B'Maga M'Masa B'Ohel. That's why the Kohanim should be careful. Then there's a third explanation that's a big Chiddush, very, very questionable. Maybe the prohibition of Tumas Kohanim doesn't really depend on whether the Kohen becomes Tameh or not. Maybe the prohibition is not to come in contact with the mace. So since Mace Yisrael Ametame Ba'ohel, even though Mace Yachman Ametame Ba'ohel, but it means that if you're Mahil on a mace, that's considered coming in contact with the mace. So even though Mace Yachman don't have any Tumah Ba'ohel, but it could be that one Kohen is not permitted to come to walk on, in a Goyish cemetery because Mesei Akam are not Metame Bohol, but the prohibition of Tumas Kohanim really means you're not allowed to come in contact with the Mace. That's a very big Chiddush to say it like that. That's a big Chiddush. So that's what the Rabbi Chanan Wasserman and Rabbi Chaim Moser were married to two sisters. They married the daughters of the rabbi in Shavuot. Rabbi's name was Stern, Rabbi Schaya Stern. I think they have in the book about Rabbi Gifter that his father learned in Europe. He learned in Shavuot in the yeshiva by Rabbi Stern. Then when he came to America, his father was not into learning. He was a balabos. Then Rabbi Gifter learned in yeshiva high school. Then his uncle was a din zah. So Din Zar was the dean when I was a student at Yeshiva. So Din Zar encouraged him to go learn in Telz in Europe. A whole group of Americans went to learn before the Second World War. A whole group went to learn in Europe, in the Miri Yeshiva and other yeshivas. So Rabbi Gifton went to learn in Telz. So they both have this chiddush. They both, Rabbi Chaim Oizer and Rabbi Chana Wasserman, both have the same suggestion that the Shach in the end of Yerideya, when you have Hilchas Avelis, has all the dinim of Roifim, all the dinim that the doctors have to know, how they care for patients, and then what happens if the doctor is not successful in treating the patient. So what are the dinim of Ripping Kriya and what are the dinim of Avelis? And that's how Yerideya ends, with all the dinim, all of Hilchas Avelis. So in the siman about Tumas Kohanim, so the Shach quotes from the Rakanti that if a girl is married to a Kohen and she's pregnant with a baby, years ago they didn't know whether the baby is going to be a male or a female. Now they can tell. Now they have testing. They can tell whether it's a male or a female. But years ago they didn't know. So if it's a female, then there's no prohibition of Tumas Kohanim. A Bas Kohen is permitted to be Mitam in the Mesim. Only a Zohar, Bnei Aharon, a Kohanim, lo Benos Aharon. Benos Aharon are permitted to be Mitam in the Mesim. So if you have an Eshes Kohen Mu'uberes, and there's a 50-50 chance whether it may be a boy or a girl, so if it may be a boy, then the Rakanti is concerned the Eshes Kohen Mu'uberes shouldn't be allowed to attend a funeral, because she may be bringing her baby boy into the oil amase. She may be causing tumah to the zichrei kohuna. So the Piskei Rakanti says it's permissible for Eshes Kohen Mu'uberes to go to a funeral. Why? Because it's a sfeik sfeike. Maybe she's pregnant with a girl, and even if she's pregnant with a boy, maybe it'll turn out to be a nephil. Maybe the baby will die before it'll be born. Maybe it'll still born the baby. And then Mimele, it's a gloy milson l'mafrei that there was no Isur of Tumas Kohanim. So the Magen Avraham quotes this. Magen Avraham was written after the Shach. Shach was written in the mid-1600s, and the Magen Avraham was written a little later. So Magen Avraham quotes this Shach. There's a siman in Hilchos Shabbos about chinuch habonim. How the parents have to be mechanech the children to observe Shabbos. And the dinim of Kotnech and Levelis and Bezim Mitzuv and Lafrishai, Chinuch in general. So the Magen Avraham quotes this Shach from Yerideya, who quotes the Piskei Rikanti. Rikanti is from the later Bali Atesis, but he had a lot of Kabbalah. They always quote the Rikanti as saying something like Pi-Kabbalah. So this is no Kabbalah involved over here. So here, the Magen Avraham quotes this, and he's bothered with Akasha. The baby who's inside the rechem of the mother is what we call Tahara Belur, the baby is Tahar. And we have a Mishnah in Perek Behema Hamakasha, that's the fourth Perek in Chulin, that Tahara Belur is not Mekabal Tumah. Tumah Belur is also not Metame. Let's say a woman is carrying a fetus, and the doctor says there's no heartbeat, and the baby died. So the din is that the mace is inside the mother, so even though there are other people in the same room, the other people are not Tumah. Tuma Blua is not Metame, and if the baby is Tahor and the mother goes to a funeral, so Tara Blua is not Mekabal Tuma. And there are two kinds of Tara Blua. One Tara Blua, the baby is inside the mother's rechem, inside the mother's womb. Another case of Tara Blua, let's say a person swallowed a kli, a person swallowed a ring, and the ring is in the stomach. It's not going to be in the rechem, the ring is in the stomach. And then when the person has the ring in the stomach, then it's, if you wait long enough, it's going to come out the other end. So the person went to a funeral when he had the ring in the stomach. So the ring in the stomach is Tara Balua. Either Balua in the stomach or the Kishkis or Balua in the Rechem is Tara Balua, is not Mekabal Tumah. So what is the Piskei Rakanti? What is the whole issue? What is he worried about? The fetus may be a 50-50 chance and may be a Kohen. She's a Eshes Kohen Mu'uberes, so she may be pregnant with a boy. So what? But the boy is Tara Blua, he's Balua inside the mother's rechem, and Tara Blua is not Mekabal Tumah. So what is the whole concern of the Rakanti, of the Bala Taisa? So that's what they both give the same suggestion, Rabbi Chaim Moiser and Rabbi Chana Wasserman, the brothers-in-law, they both suggest maybe the Rakanti is of the understanding that Kohanim are not allowed to come in contact with a mace, even if that contact is with a stunt. It's Tara Belua. It's not going to, the Kohen is not going to become Tame. The fetus inside the mother's rechem will not be Mekabel Tumah because Tara Belua. But still, since sometimes Ohel is sometimes if it's a mace Yisrael, then it's Metame Ba'ohel. So being in the same Ohel, even if it's not Metame, it's also for a Kohen to come in contact with a mace, even if it's not Metame him. That's a big chiddush of a suggestion. So that's what some explain. Maybe that's the reason why it says in Shulchan Aruch, even if you hold like the Rambam, who paskins like the Tana Reb Shimon, the mace Yakama, not Metame Ba'ohel, this is all the Rashi on Tesamar Aleph. Even if you hold like Reb Shimon, Rabbi Yochai, the mace Yakama, not Metame Ba'ohel, but still, maybe it's still also for the Kohen to come in contact with the Mesei Akum, even though it's not Mitamehim. There's the Pischei Tshuva there in Yoredeya and Hilchas Tumas Kohanim in the end of Yoredeya, and have the laws of Hilchas Roifim and Hilchas Tumas Kohanim. So he has a Chiddush. There's a Mishnah in the beginning of Ahol, the first parak in Ahol, is that Efer Hasrufim, let's say they cremated a body, and you have ashes. You have ashes from the cremation. So the Efer Asrufim is not Metame, because it's not a mace. So Rabbi Yankov Emden has a Chiddush, even though Efer Asrufim is not Metame, but still forbidden for a Kohen to come in contact with Efer Asrufim, even though it's not Metame. And that's a din in Tumah. But Tumas Kohanim is not really totally in Tumah. It's a din you're not allowed to come in contact with the mace. Rabbi Chaim Oizer quotes this Pischei Tshuva. He already had a Yoredeya with the Pischei Tshuva was printed in the end of the 1800s. So Rabbi Chaim Oizer thinks that we don't accept, we don't really hold like Rabbi Yankov Emden on this. A lot of things he has we don't pass on like. Because just the reason why there's not Tumas Mace by Efer HaSrufim, because it's not a mace, it's Panim Chadoshes, it's Eshes. So just, if it's not a mace, so just like there's no Tumas Mace, so there's no Easter of coming in contact with a mace. Efer HaSrufim is not called a mace. Yeah, the Pashtus is that's what we hold, that the Kohanim are permitted to come in contact with the Efer HaSrufim. Some are concerned that in the crematoria in Europe that they left behind, it could be that there are still limbs of Mesa Yisrael there. Could be that not everything was burnt. So if there's a Kazayas HaBasar, it was a long time ago, it was over 75 years already. So if there's a Kazayas HaBasa left, that will be for sure will be an Iser, that the Kohen should not come in contact. This passage in the Gemara, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's Drasha, Rashi quotes it from Yevamos Daf Samach Aleph, that Atem Kriyim Adam Ki Amis Ba'Ohel, only Adam is Metami Ba'Ohel, and Atem Kriyim Adam, that's a Loshen based on a Pasuk in Yecheskel, I think. Atem Kriyim Adam, Einu Mesavim Kriyim Adam, always brought about a lot of anti-Semitism. The Goyim knew about this, that we consider them as if they're animals, as if we consider them as if they're not human beings. So they don't have tumas ohel, they only have tumah like metame b'maga b'masa. So that's not really true. Nivlas b'im is metame b'maga b'masa. You don't need 7 days. You don't need paraduma water for shlishi shvi. May say akum, even if you hold like Reb Shimon, then it's not metame b'ohel, but it's metame b'maga masa tumah shiva, and you need hazor shlishi shvi. It's still, it's not like a behema, but that was the taina. How can we use such an expression? Atem kriyim adam ve'enu umasadam kriyim adam. So this was one of the issues. There was a bailus trial. They took a Jewish person on trial. Supposedly he killed a Christian baby and they used the blood, the Beit Matzis. And this was in the 20th century. In the early 1900s, I forgot it, when, 1910, 1912. It was going on for 2 years, I think. It turned out the whole thing was a lie. And the one who killed the baby finally admitted after the whole trial was over, a year or two after the whole trial was over, that he murdered the baby. He wasn't Jewish at all. It was another Christian killed him. But they had this guy, Bilas, was on trial, as if he killed the baby, as if the Jewish people has been guilty of killing Christian babies for centuries in order to bake the matzahs. So the trial at this, the lawyer representing Bilas at the trial was Rabbi Maza. Rabbi Mazza was an Orthodox rabbi. He was the rabbi in Moscow, if I'm not mistaken. The trial, I think, was in St. Petersburg. But he had a law degree. He had gone to law school because he was very brilliant. And he was a learned person. So he spoke, I think, for 8 hours or something on the trial. They had to have a break in the middle. He spoke for 4 hours, then had a break. Then he spoke another 4 hours defending the Jewish people and the defending Ba'alis. So he had to explain, how do we have such a drasha? Atem kruim odem, einem asalem kruim odem. Mazza was a kohen. Mazza is a Rosh Tevis, Mizera Aharon HaKohen, Mem Zayin Alafei. It's always written as a Rosh Tevis, Rabbi Mazza. I think Jackie Mason's name originally was Mazza. He had a brother who was a rabbi. And Jackie Mason was a comedian, Jewish comedian, in my time, two generations ago, before you people were born. So I think from the Lower East Side. So Mazza means that they're Kohanim. Mizera Aharon HaKohen. So he gave an interpretation that everybody says over. Rabbi Soloveitchik once said it over the name of Rabbi Mazza. They say attributed to other people as well, that there are different words in the Hebrew language, in biblical Hebrew, for a human being, in the singular and the plural. So you have ish and you have a plural, anoshim. You have enosh and you have anoshim also. Then you have geber and you have givarim. You have the singular, then you have a plural. Adam is the same in the singular in the plural. How come it's the same? So that's what he said. That's what Rabbi Mazza said. If one Chinaman does an Avera, so you don't accuse all the Chinese, they're all rapists, because there was one Chinaman who didn't. No, he did it. There was one Frenchman who stole. So all the French, they're all gone on him. You don't blame the whole nation just because one person did an Avera. But by the Jewish people, they do. Whenever one Jewish person does an Avera anywhere in the world, they say, the governor said, all the Orthodox Jews are not violating Dinin Mahusa in the COVID-19. All the Orthodox Jews, a couple of lunatics in Williamsburg, in the Borough Park, in Washington Heights, all the Jews are observing, in Yeshiva, all the Jews are observing. We're Orthodox. Why is that so? So that's because there's a tziruf of Klal Yisrael. By the Yom HaSa'olam, the individual is separate, and the collective is two different things. The Yochid and the Rabbim are separate. By the Jewish people, it's one and the same. Klal Yisrael Arab Mizabizet, there's a tziruf by Klal Yisrael. True, the Ikka tziruf is for the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, but the Jews who relate to Eretz Yisrael, also there's a tziruf. So whenever one Jew does an Avera, it is correct. It's not a double standard. It is correct that we say, Kol Yisrael Arayim Zabizah, everyone is held responsible for the Averas that the Yochid does. So that's what it means. Atem Kriim Odom, the term Odom, that is the same, the singular and the plural, only applies to the Jewish people. Because by all the Yom HaSa'olam, there's a difference. There's a discrepancy between the individual and the Tzibur, and you don't hold the whole Tzibur responsible for the sins of the individual. Anyway, so those are the three different explanations that they give on the Yeridei. Why do they recommend that the Kohenim should not go in a non-Jewish cemetery? There's no Magamasa. The words is going to be Ohel, and we pass on like Reb Shimon. So some say B'choshish for the Shitas Tosfos, that you pass on like the Chachamim, that Mesi Akamam Etamid Boil. And others say that even though Mesi Akamam Etamid Boil, maybe there are Jewish Mishmadim who are buried there. The Jewish Mishmadim are still Jewish. They didn't lose the Kedushas Yisrael. The third explanation, that's the Mechudish Dike explanation, that there's an Issa coming in contact with a Mace, even if it's not Metamid, and to be Mahal on a Mace, that's considered coming in contact with the Mace, even though it's not Metame. That's really a big question. One of the great Gedolim, the Kozhik Glover, who was killed by the Nazis in the Warsaw Ghetto, I think his name was Rabbi Aryeh Frommer. They have his photograph by the elevators on the top floor in the library on 5A. His brother, he was killed by the Nazis, but his brother survived the war, and he donated some significant amount of money to name the fifth floor after his brother. So he has a collection of tshuvas. So he has a discussion, how is a kohen permitted to go in an airplane? If you go a long distance, let's say you go from Los Angeles to New York, you're going 3,000 miles. It's probably vadai that you're going to go over a cemetery. So if mesam amitami ba'ohel, so why isn't the kohen in violation of tumas mes? So it could be that even if it is metami, even if you'll say that there is tumas mes, it could be that's tumas mes, but you can't say that he came in contact with the mes. He's above the clouds. He's all the way up on top, and the mes is all the way down on the ground. Could be that there's no iser to be metami. Could be that the only iser is to come in contact with the mes, and this is not considered coming in contact. Okay, the b'china I understand is going to be on Wednesday. B'shah tovah matzlacha. It's pretty easy b'china, not too hard, but it was a lot of material. So please chazer everything in the Gemara, and to believe that tomorrow we'll continue easy. We'll discuss a little bit the dinim on daf tes. Everyone should have a good day, a healthy day. Good.